Ultimately, on the start line, every time my prayer is, "Your will be done." Like that's all I say. You know, it's all about God's will and trusting that that is good. And yeah, that's always what I say before every race.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Hello, you're listening to Premier Christian Radio. I'm Sam Hales, editor of Premier Christianity Magazine, that sponsors this show and brings it to you every week. Each week here on The Profile, we like to sit down with a different Christian and hear something of their life story. And I'm pleased to say that our guest on the show this week is Carrie Adenigan, the wheelchair racer who is currently getting ready to compete at the Paris Paralympics. She is going to be in the wheelchair racing 100 meters and 800 meters in a matter of days. But before that, Premier's Marcus Jones sat down with Carrie to hear something of her testimony, how she came to faith, and also what motivates her as a Christian to compete. Let's listen in.
Just tell us a little bit about life growing up for you as a child, where you were, family.
Yeah, so I grew up in Coventry. So I was born in Coventry, born and raised still there now, with my family, with both my parents. And I've got quite a lot of family in Coventry as well. So I've always been kind of around family, which has been really good. Brought up in a Christian household as well. So very much brought up into the church. And that's very much been quite a normal thing for me. School-wise as well, like went to a local school. I did have some challenges at school though. I think just growing up with a disability. So maybe I should backtrack a little bit. My disability, cerebral palsy. So I was born with cerebral palsy. I was born prematurely. So that kind of linked and related to why I had cerebral palsy growing up. And then, yeah, so I was in school and that at times was a bit challenging. So that's maybe a more challenging part of my upbringing, just navigating having a disability and growing up. But I was very thankful to have the support of my family through that.
And cerebral palsy, for those who might not or might have heard of the condition but might not understand it, just give us a context of kind of how that impacts your life and the challenges that it might bring.
Yeah, so I have cerebral palsy, but particularly it's called diplegia, so it affects my legs. So it's a neurological condition, so linked to the brain and just how it kind of regulates movements in the body. So it causes my legs to be quite stiff. So that means I use a wheelchair to get around. And that's just generally how I'm able to be mobile and get where I need to get to.
And I guess it's something that you've always experienced. So it's all that you've ever known. But you hinted there at kind of challenges at school. I guess, you know, for many, they might not have come across that. And I guess that kind of manifested in some ways about how they treated you maybe. Or yeah, talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so obviously growing up at school, I was actually the only wheelchair user when I was in primary school and preschool. So being quite different to everybody was quite challenging, especially growing up when you want to do what everybody else, you know, is doing. So that was definitely quite a challenge. And particularly in the area of sport, that's kind of how sport kind of came about in my life as well, was the fact that I was excluded from sport when I was at school. So that was one of those areas where I realised that I was different, because all my friends would be doing PE lessons and I'd be watching them, you know, from the inside. Side of the school, watching them play outside, or just sometimes not being able to even access parts of the playground. So I remember being by myself a lot of the time, let's say during lunch times, and thinking, oh, I just want to do what everybody else is doing. But because of my disability, that was a limitation that I felt, especially, you know, when I was growing up.
How did that feel then, sitting in the classroom, looking out and seeing people doing kind of all this, I guess, what you saw as exciting activity? How did that feel?
It was tough. It was very isolating. I think that's how I'd describe it. Just not feeling like I was like everybody else. And obviously, you know, when you're young, you want to be like everybody else. You don't really want to be different. You want to be a part of the group. So in that sense, I did feel very isolated at times, quite lonely as well, especially just feeling like, yeah, I just wasn't fitting in, you know, even though that was a desire that I had.
It did in turn, though, inspire you to get more into sport. I've read a little bit about that story. And I guess some might look at it to say, you know, when you're told you can't do something, perhaps you want to kind of rebel against that idea. Was that kind of your experience?
Yeah, definitely. I think watching the London 2012 Paralympic Games and just being so inspired by what I saw, there was something in me that was like, oh, I want to prove people wrong. I want to be out there doing sport at a high level. And it's just the irony of it, which is amazing, though, the fact that, yeah, I went from literally just watching my friends do sport and thinking it wasn't for me to seeing the games and just being launched into this world of not just regular sport, but actually elite, top high level sport.
We'll talk a little bit about that journey throughout this interview. But that moment then, you watch in the Paralympics, you're seeing people doing incredible things. What kind of triggers a kind of an alarm in your mind that thinks, I could do that? What was it that really kind of caught your attention?
It was particularly the athletics that caught my attention. So I watched a sport called wheelchair racing, which is my sport. But I think what really got me was the fact that I saw people in wheelchairs going really, really fast. So even when I was at school and when I was at primary school, that was the first time I got a wheelchair. So I was in like year three, about 7 years old. I got my first wheelchair because before that I was like using a walker and that kind of thing. But I remember whizzing around my primary school with my wheelchair, and my teachers would say things like, "Oh, slow down, slow down. You need a ticket," or people are trying to be funny. They're like, "Oh, you can't be going too fast on that, So all of that. So I think I always had this desire to be fast and to be speedy. So when I realized it was a sport, I was like, "That's definitely my sport. Nobody's going to tell me off for going fast if I'm on an athletics track."
So when you saw them going fast, did you immediately think, I could do that, I could be in a stadium winning gold, or was that just kind of a pipe dream?
I did, to be honest. I think maybe I was a little bit naive. I mean, I saw it and I just thought, oh, that looks easy. They're just pushing a wheelchair around a track. But I did realize it's a lot more technical than it looked. But yeah, I definitely had a sense within me in that moment that this is the sport for me. I could do that.
So what happened then? You go from an idea to several years later, you are actually competing at a Paralympic Games, but there's a little bit in between there. So how do you make that first step to actually becoming a para athlete?
So from once we watched the games on TV, my parents did some research. So we looked into the local athletics club, which for me was Coventry Godiva Harriers. And then we actually found out that there was a club that did wheelchair racing locally, which is actually quite rare, to be honest, because wheelchair racing isn't something that every, athletics club provides. So that was incredible in itself to actually have an athletics club about 10 minutes away from where I lived that actually provided, wheelchair racing. So it was through that I got in contact with my coach and then was linked to a club with other athletes.
And there must have been, a couple of weeks in that you actually think, I could actually do this, or you've got a coach who's saying you've got some real talent here. There must have been something which inspired you within that.
Yeah, definitely. My coach did see potential in me. So he was actually out at the games with one of his athletes. So yeah, he was very much within elite sport, within the sport, which was really useful to have him as a connection as well. And he was very encouraging. He seemed to look at me and really believed that I had potential. And I think having that type of encouragement as well helped me going forward.
And I guess months or perhaps years before, you've been told by teachers at school you can't do PE. Now you're able to express yourself in the sporting space. How's that feeling?
It's amazing. Yeah, it's incredible because I think I look back at just seeing all those barriers that I felt that I had to sport. So when I went into sport, I just felt like all those barriers had just broken down, all those kind of preconceived ideas I had about my abilities and about what sport was, that was all kind of taken away. And I was just able to see sport in a positive way and see it as an opportunity, yeah, for me.
For somebody listening now, whether they're a parent or they're somebody themselves who've been told, you can't do this, or your child can't do this, what's your message to them?
I tell them, not to listen to that, to believe in yourself and to know that you can do anything and not to just allow people's negativity or people's kind of preconceived ideas to stop you. And it's all about just going out and just trying different things, especially in sport. I always encourage people to just try everything and just see where you end up.
So you're training now. I'm guessing you're training fairly regularly on a track, but at this stage it's just training. What do you remember your first race? How did that come about?
Yeah, so my first race competitively that I did was the London Mini Marathon. So that's the last 3 miles of the London Marathon course for like under 17 athletes. So that was quite daunting in itself, really, to be out in the open roads in London. But it was an incredible experience. Like we'd pass Buckingham Palace and, central London. And yeah, it was incredible to be able to race with other young athletes. And I came second in that race for the under 15 girls. And I was just so happy about that because it was, my first ever race.
And how old were you at that time?
And I was 12.
So 12, and then you've got older teenagers competing. You come second in your first race. That's pretty cool thing to say, right?
Yeah, I was so happy. Yeah, it was an amazing day.
And does that then make you think, okay, well, what's next? If I can do this in my first race, what can I do in my second, third, fourth, etc.?
Yeah, definitely. I think it gave me some confidence in that moment to know that I could compete. And then I just had a desire to enter more races and just to see what I was capable of.
And I guess at some point then after that race, somebody starts to think, hey, there's Paralympics coming in a few years' time. When does that become a possibility?
It took a while. I mean, I think I always had at the back of my mind that I wanted to compete at the Paralympic Games, but I didn't know how quickly it was really going to happen. So I really just had to take it season by season, entering events. And then slowly it kind of just became like more of a reality as I started to compete internationally.
And what do you have at your family and your friends think at this point? They've seen you struggle at school, they've seen people see you as different, and now they're seeing you competing and thriving in that space. What are the messages they're giving to you?
My friends and family were so supportive. And they were really excited for me. I think even my parents, though, as well, they didn't know how serious it was going to be, but they were just very encouraging and just wanted me to just enjoy the sport first and foremost and just to get the experience of competing. So, yeah, I had a lot of support.
And are you just enjoying it at that time, or is it kind of the competition? Is it really kind of starting to kick in?
Yeah, not at all at that point. Yeah, so I didn't feel the pressure at all. I was just enjoying it. I didn't really have any expectations. Even actually going into my first Paralympic Games, I didn't have a lot of expectations. So it was nice because I think when you begin and when you're young, you just have that freedom. You're just enjoying it. There's absolutely no pressure on you. I think I definitely did thrive through that.
Yeah, so you talk about the first Paralympic Games. So that came in Rio in 2016. Take us through that journey of from kind of first race to Paralympics. How did it come about? I guess you're setting that as a goal at some point and kind of really aiming for that as the main objective. Talk us through that journey.
Yeah, so once I'd done my first race, I had my first season, which was 2013. So again, just really getting to grips with the sport. 2014, I went to the World Junior Championships. So that was the first time wearing the GB vest, and again, just getting experience internationally. Then 2015 was quite a turning point. So that was my first World Championships. So I went there and I got two bronze medals for GB in the 400 and 800 meters. And as a junior athlete, that was a big deal. I was with the senior women, and I was 14 at my first senior world championships, and I think that was the moment when the Paralympics looked more realistic. I was like, okay, if I'm a world medalist, then actually I've got real chance of getting to the Paralympic Games. So I think I had that good block of experience just gradually getting into international events, and then once we got to 2016, it was a Paralympic year, and then I had the great privilege of being selected for GB.
So what's that like? You get the phone call to say, Carrie, you're in, you're going to be going to Rio, you're going to be competing for Team GB. What feeling goes through you at that point?
I was just so excited, honestly. It felt like a huge dream come true. Again, from watching the games to actually knowing that I'd actually be there. So it was just incredible. And yeah, it was just so surreal because that was always a dream, but I don't think I realized it was going to come so quickly. Literally, the next games. So yeah, it was amazing.
Okay, so opening ceremony for the Paralympic Games, they announced Team GB, out you go. Just talk us through what that's like to walk into a stadium with all the other athletes and all the excitement that's kind of around.
I didn't actually go to the opening ceremony, but I did watch it from the village because my race was one of the earlier races. But I remember we were at the village and we were all watching it, and we actually all got dressed up in our opening ceremony gear as if we were at the stadium. But again, it was incredible being able to watch that and feel a part of the team, because there's nothing like the Paralympics in the sense that we've got all the athletes from all the different sports together. So I remember it just being incredible, just being at the village, being amongst the athletes, and just even that energy and that atmosphere was electric, even just from the village. So I definitely felt part of that whole experience.
And I guess, it's 4 years after London 2012. You've already said that was the real kind of inspiration to get you into the sport. And 4 years on, I'm guessing you're still seeing the same sort of faces that you first saw on the TV or whatever, watching in 2012. So you, in some ways, you're seeing kind of those people that you were idolizing, looking up to. How was that?
Yeah, it was amazing. I always say that I was a bit of a fangirl when I went to Rio 2016, because I just wanted selfies with all the athletes on the team. I remember seeing people like Ellie Simmons and David Weir, and I was like, wow, like I'm on a team with these people. I just enjoyed it from that, just being actually a part of that, almost like going into the TV screen, all these people I'd been watching over the years. So yeah, it was absolutely amazing. And even the ladies that I was racing against, they were the ladies I'd watched. So yeah, it was just amazing to be around those people.
So you're a teenager, 14, you say, you're at the Paralympic Games, you go into your first race, you make the final. Talk us through the final, first final.
Yeah, it was amazing. I wasn't expecting a lot from myself, to be honest. I was just very grateful to be there. So I remember just being on the start line and just thinking, wow, this is a dream come true. And really, the only thing in my head was about just going out there and giving it my best. Yeah, giving it my all. And yeah, I did. I felt very blessed to be in that moment. And I think just looking back, I just reflected on just everything that I've been through and just realized that, yeah, also how amazing is it to be out there.
And was there expectation at that point that, you might get a medal, or was it just kind of, I'm here, I'm going to enjoy it?
I hoped, I think for the 100 meters, that was my first final. I did feel like there was a possibility of getting a medal, but I tried not to get too caught up in that at all. I really just tried to enjoy it and just to give it my all. And I think I did exceed my expectations by getting a medal.
So you got a medal in that race, but not only in that race, you get two more medals in the games. That's a pretty remarkable turnaround from 4 years earlier, having never raced, being told at school you can't get involved in PE. Now you're picking up medals on the, most on the biggest stage out there. Do you kind of find time to just kind of reflect on that journey, kind of 4 or 5 years? That's such a huge turnaround.
Yeah, it is. It's a really huge turnaround. Yeah, reflecting on it just happened so quickly. But I think that's the nature of, when you enjoy it, that time just goes by quite quickly, and just growing up in it, and yeah, and just not allowing those expectations kind of get to me. And I think, yeah, it's just incredible to think how much happened within that short amount of time.
And how you managed to juggle school at that time?
It was hard at times. My school were really supportive, but even when I went to my first World Championships in 2015, like I had to miss some school, and for the Paralympics I had to miss a bit of school as well. So it was very different, a very unique situation probably for my school as well. But I really just had to be very disciplined. So it'd be like get back from school, do homework, train, and I just got into a good routine. I think that helped.
2018, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you pick up the Sports Personality of the Year award prize for young athletes. I guess now you're being seen as somebody with kind of massive potential. So earlier you talked about kind of no pressure in that first race, but now you're an Olympic medalist, you're on kind of primetime TV. That pressure, I guess, is starting to kind of ramp up. It's more than just a something that you do for fun. It's starting to become potentially a career, and you're needing to win. Talk us through that kind of pressure and when you first started to feel that.
Yeah, definitely there was pressure. I think in 2018, probably not too much, but I think that was definitely the turning point. So breaking a world record, getting my first international gold, yeah, getting young spotty. I think there was that realization that okay, like I'm now at the top, and like how do I keep that going? Because really, once you're there, you want to stay there. So I think that was the moment when I was realizing, yeah, like I'm now one of the more experienced athletes, even though in 2018 I was only 17 years old. There was definitely a shift there.
And are you having to dedicate more of your time, more of your life to competing and training and to ensuring that you stay at the top of your game?
Yeah, it definitely felt like more of a career at that point. So I've got my routines with training, I've got competing, and there's an expectation that I'm going to go to the next World Champs, go to the next Paralympic Games. So yeah, definitely the training ramped up as well.
And at that point, is this number one thing in your life, or is kind of school, faith, and we'll talk about faith in a moment, friends, family, like, is competing now number one, or is that like in your priority list? Could you place it at that point?
I think so. I think between track and also school, those two were like just the main things. I think definitely the priorities were around those because I was doing my A levels, starting my A levels then as well. So that was very much, well, all my time is pretty much occupied within those two things.
First Olympics down, second Olympics you're training for Tokyo, and a little old global pandemic comes. How is that then? Because I'm guessing that stops you training, the Olympics gets postponed, you've got all the excitement but then disappointment alongside that. How was that whole lockdown and pandemic for you?
It was hard. I think that's when probably my relationship with sport changed a lot through lockdown because, I definitely felt like there was a security around sport. It was like, yeah, the Olympics and Paralympics is definitely happening in 2020. And as we know, it didn't, with lockdown. So everything very much shook, I think, for me, or in my life, it felt like everything was kind of shaking. I couldn't train how I usually would. I would just be at home, or we had to get a bit creative. So I went to like a car park, local car park, and did a bit of pushing in a car park. But yeah, like lockdown definitely shifted everything.
But you're still focused on getting to the Tokyo Games in 2021. And now you're going in as a medalist. So you're looking to defend the medals. I'm guessing there's a bit more pressure there, a bit more expectation. And also, I'm guessing you want to kind of upgrade your medal from what you had. So when it came to 2021, what sort of feelings are going through your mind at that point?
I was really just excited that the Paralympics was going to happen after the year's postponement. But yeah, I think I definitely did have a desire to make sure that I would stay at the level that I was at. So going into it, I was, second in the world. Like I expected, okay, I've got to at least get a silver, but if I could win a gold, that would be nice. So yeah, definitely had a lot of expectations on myself, and I really just wanted to be the best athlete I could be and win more medals.
So you did indeed pick up more medals, and you've been picking up medals ever since. That pretty much brings us up to kind of the current day, and we've got a small matter of the Paris Games on the horizon. So just tell us a little bit about kind of life now, and what training's looking like, and how you're feeling preparing for the games.
Yeah, so I'm feeling good. I mean, it's been a long year, it feels, still waiting for the games to come. But yeah, it's really exciting, especially just the prospect of being able to go to a games where it's going to be normal, not like lockdown, have friends and family there. So that's really been my motivation, when I've been training. So yeah, it's been really good, and I'm in a different position as well because it's the first Paralympics where I'm actually a full-time athlete now. I haven't got school or university, so that also comes with more time to train as well and be as best prepared as I can be.
Obviously, more silver medals along the way in the last Olympics. What are the chances this time around? Are we looking for that upgrade? Is gold on the horizon? Is that kind of where your mind is focused?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'm a firm believer that, if you don't believe that you can win gold, you can't win gold. So I definitely have to at least have the mindset that it's possible, it's not impossible. So I'm really just training the hardest that I can and just hoping that, I can go there and challenge for gold. But really, it's just about being the best version of myself, like focusing on my process and hopefully just getting a good outcome.
You were one of the first athletes named in the team for the Paralympics, alongside who I'm now guessing is kind of an arch nemesis of yours, Hannah Cockcroft. That might be a name that's familiar. She's the one that's been picking up golds at the Paralympics. So, what's that relationship like? Are you kind of looking at her saying, "I've got to beat Hannah," or is it kind of competition that spurs you on? Yeah, how's that dynamic?
It definitely spurs me on, honestly. I think she's an incredible athlete. What she's achieved in her career is amazing so far. I mean, I'm sure there's even more to come. But she definitely inspires me, though. I think it's a positive relationship because I am genuinely inspired by what she does. And I think it pushes me to be the best athlete that I can be as well.
And if we're watching the Paralympic Games then, so you're going to be competing in three events, is that right? 100, 400, 800? How's that kind of looking for you?
It's just the 100 and 800
Okay.
meters. Yeah, so we had a four in Rio, then it got taken off us. So 108.
So two events we can be looking out for, and I guess you've got that whole experience to be looking forward to. I guess Tokyo was a bit of a weird games, right? There wasn't quite kind of the audience there because of the pandemic. This time you're going to be back in front of full stadiums. Are you going to get to the opening ceremony, Olympic Village? You've got all that to look forward to, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited to have the full games experience. I think especially after Tokyo, it'd be really nice to have a proper experience, especially having friends and family there, having a crowd. And yeah, so it's really exciting.
And friends and family, I guess, being there in the crowd, when it comes to a race, what is it that the things that kind of motivate you when you're on that kind of start line? Is it kind of the support and friends and family? Is it kind of a personal just wanting to accomplish something? What are the things that motivate you in that moment?
So really, I think it's my enjoyment of the sport that really motivates me. I think also my goals, like my desire to be, a good athlete, to improve upon myself. Definitely like friends and family, knowing their support as well. And I think also like through my faith as well, I think my motivations have changed, quite a bit that actually like I go to the start line with a desire to do it, for God's glory as well. And I think that's something that's grown, over my career. Probably not something that I was thinking so much about in Rio, but something that I definitely hold with me more, as I'm going into Paris.
Which of these topics has not been covered on PremierChristianity.com? UFOs, near-death experiences, Doctor Who, Christ's return, the faith of celebrities, and Andrew Tate? Trick question. We don't shy away from any topic. We cover faith as it affects us in daily life and give you the bigger picture. PremierChristianity.com. Special podcast subscription offer at PremierChristianity.com/podcast.
You touched upon faith at the very beginning of our interview in regards to the fact that you were brought up in a Christian family. You touched it upon it just at the end there of that first part where you said kind of it's become a motivation. Just talk us through that kind of experience from growing up in a Christian family to now being, fully kind of motivated by your faith. I guess even myself being brought up in a Christian family, there's not really a moment where you kind of click your fingers and suddenly you're kind of fully living your life for God. But there's a journey, I guess. So can you just talk me through that a little bit?
Yeah, so there's definitely been a journey. So I think really positive growing up in church, but definitely took a while to have that personal faith for myself. Like, I had that moment of praying, the prayer when I was around 10 years old. So I did have a sense of, believing in God and like and believing in Jesus and what Jesus did. But I think I did definitely have ups and downs like within school. Especially I think dealing with disability as well. I did have questions around kind of God, like, if I've got a disability, what's your purpose for my life? And I definitely wrestled with that and just wondering like, what are you going to do with me, God, if I'm disabled? Like, I laugh at it now, but those are generally some of the thoughts, that I had. And then also when I went into secondary school, I did have moments of, doubting God, and especially because I did A level philosophy, and that even again questions of like, God, like, does God really exist, and how does this all work? And so I definitely have had ups and downs, but I think again another shift was when I went to university and got plugged into Christian community at university, and I think that was just an incredible thing that really helped me to get into faith, but also lockdown as well. And through that shaking of sport, I realized that really the only firm thing there is God and God's word. And I think again that was a time that really got me rooted in my faith, to the point that I'm at now.
So that wrestling, especially around kind of faith and disability, were you able to find answers? Thinking about those again who might be listening, who might be kind of having those same questions of, God, if you are there, why are you allowing kind of suffering? Why are you allowing people to be different? Were you able to find answers and do you have the answers to some of those big questions now?
In some ways, yes and no. I think, as you know, through faith, there's definitely that sense of just having to trust, and I think that's something that I've learned is just trusting that God is good, knowing that God is good, trusting that God's will, is good. So I did wrestle quite a bit, but I think even sport was, a place where actually it was almost like God was like, do you see like some of my purposes in your life, like seeing the fact that there was so much positives coming from my disability, actually, that this has almost been a door to a new platform and a new opportunity, to develop myself, but also a platform to share my faith as well. And so I think that was definitely a shifting point as well. But just realizing that God will, use all things, and like even things that we think are weaknesses and we think that are negative things in our life, it's just amazing to see the way that God uses those things. So I think that's how I've been able to kind of reconcile, disability and my faith.
And has there been any particular Bible verse or story that's particularly helped when it comes to those wrestling moments?
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that I pointed to quite a bit when I was younger was, the story when Jesus, I think it's Jesus with the blind man, and like there were those around that were saying, like, why is he like this? Is it something his parents have done? Is it a sin of his parents or something like that? And the way that Jesus was like, no, he's like this for the glory of God. And obviously Jesus heals him. But there's that sense of just knowing that, yeah, all things are for the glory of God. And I think that's amazing. I think that's why something like doing this for God's glory, doing my sport for God's glory, has always stuck with me, because it's that sense of knowing that, yeah, God will be glorified, in everything.
There's that quote from Chariots of Fire, which is attributed to Eric Liddell, which we don't actually think he said it, but it sounds good. But when I run, I feel God's pleasure. Is there something in that when you compete, when you're racing, that you do feel kind of God with you and God smiling upon you?
Yeah, definitely. I remember there's been moments in training where I've definitely felt that. I do recall like a long, long time ago, just being on the track and really having a sense of like, wow, like God, you're with me and you brought me here. And just definitely like having those almost flashbacks of the past and times when I questioned my disability and questioned God and questioned my purpose, and just realizing and seeing God, unravel that slowly, in my life.
And again, I'm thinking about kind of those who might be listening, kind of younger people who might be in a situation similar to yours or others where they're facing kind of difficulties or wrestling with this idea of, God's purpose for their lives. What encouragement do you give to them in regards to, finding the place where God wants them to thrive?
I think I'd encourage them to trust God, but also know that like there's so many great, stories within the Bible that point us to trusting in God. Like we see in the Bible that so many people suffered, and it was challenging. And I think it's important that we recognize that suffering is, a part of life, and that we don't, it's just something that we have to deal with. But it's great to see God's, faithfulness for people, and even to know that there were, people, let's say like Sarah and Abraham and others, where they're waiting, for the promise. They're waiting for something from God, but we see God's faithfulness in it all. And I think hopefully that will encourage, others, and it's encouraged my life to know that God is faithful and just to trust him.
Do you like winning?
I mean, it's a
It's
fight. I haven't won much.
it's an odd question to ask. I mean, you've won plenty, but I think perhaps our human self wants to kind of get the glory, wants to be winning, and then kind of the faith part of us says actually we should kind of not really kind of strive for a gold. We should strive for a better relationship with God. How does that dynamic kind of work out in your life?
And I think as a Christian athlete, there is that tension sometimes, because by all means, yeah, I want to be the best athlete possible, and I do want to win. I do want to succeed. But I think I've learned now, or I'm in the position now where it's like more about consecrating and surrendering my ambition, to God, that actually like I'm going to do my very best and I'm going to push myself. And yeah, I do want to be the best I can be, but also recognizing that, God's will is going to happen, and it's kind of God's plan for my life. And I've had to, especially this year, kind of let go a bit of some of that ambition and just do what's in my control and just trust that the outcome, whatever it is, ultimately God, in God's hands.
Is there something freeing about that, though? That, if you're able to kind of just hand it over and say what will be, I'm just going to focus on being the best version of me that I can be and not worry about winning. I guess that's got to help somehow.
Yeah, definitely. It does help. And I think I've realized that even this year, I've been like holding on so much to almost wanting to preserve what I've achieved and kind of hold on to the reputation that I've built in sport. And I do feel like God's really challenged me to kind of let go of that. But actually, there's so much freedom when you do let go of the outcome. And I think that's where faith is amazing, because when you have faith that you have a sovereign good father that's, working all things, for the good of your life. Doesn't mean that you're going to win everything and be always successful, but it means that overall you can trust that the outcome's going to be, a good one.
And you talked about your platform allowing you opportunities to share faith. And again, I did an interview many years ago with the boxer Tyson Fury. And at the time, he said, this was like before he'd made it big, he hadn't won anything. And he just said, God's going to make me world champion because when I become world champion, I'll be able to speak to more people than any church in the world. Now, he did become world champion, he did get a platform. And to be fair to him, whenever he's in the spotlight, he always says, I thank God and I give the glory to God and all that sort of stuff. So there is something in that, in God putting people in places of influence. And you've been able to use that platform. I know that you've kind of made a point of kind of sharing your faith with competitors, but with others as well. You've got kind of a podcast which gives you the opportunity. So there's something in that that God is providing a platform for you, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's something, again, like through my career, I've realized I've got a platform, and sport is very much a secular space, but people are genuinely interested in the lives of athletes and want to know, what drives athletes, what motivates athletes. So it really gives me a great opportunity, to share my faith in that, because as a Christian, everything I do very much does revolve around my faith. So, when I'm talking about sport, naturally, there are things about faith that kind of cross over into that.
So you're at the Olympics, for example, Paralympics, and another athlete who perhaps you don't know all that well comes up to you and says, "Carrie, I've heard you're a Christian. Why do you believe all that? What's your message to them?"
I think one thing that I point to a lot is just the way that everything around us, is so unpredictable and unstable. And really, like when it comes to knowing Jesus and what Jesus has done, there's that sense of that hope, that firm hope we have, and that security that we have in him. And I think when I talk to athletes, that's something I do point to a lot, because, sport is so ever-changing, so fickle. People definitely want to be defined by their performances, and there's challenges around identity. But in faith, we have that secure identity in Christ, and it's more about what Christ has done, and more than it's about what we've done. Like, we're not trying to earn it in our own performance in the way that sport is, and I think that's so liberating for athletes to hear.
You talked earlier on in our conversation about the just general ups and downs growing up. Sport is the ultimate career of ups and downs, right? You win, you lose, you get injured, things that set you back. How has faith kind of helped through all of those ups and downs?
It's helped a lot, because I think there's definitely that sense of, like I said, the unpredictability of sport, even in form. So I had a world record one year, then I don't have the world record anymore, or one minute being the best in the world and maybe getting knocked down a bit, or just those kind of challenges, wrestling with that. So yeah, it's definitely a sense of faith just giving me that security, and that firmness, and just like trusting in kind of my value beyond my sport. Because there definitely have been moments where I've really thought, okay, like, what am I going to do without sport? Or, and it's just remembering my identity and remembering who I am. And yeah, like, my faith definitely helps me to have that grounding.
And kind of linked to that, I listened to your most recent podcast. You talk about disappointment and how kind of there's so much learning and so much to be achieved through disappointments. Just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I think I've been thinking a lot around disappointment, and the fact that, God can use disappointment, that actually, like, God will use everything of his for his glory and for his purposes. And I think it's learning that disappointment provides us with opportunities to build our character. So, like, being honest, like, even just going into the games, I'm not quite the form I want to be at right now, but there's definitely that sense that, okay, like, God, like, you're actually going to teach me more about yourself, and I can be more like you in this situation. I can grow in character, and just seeing, yeah, like how positive that can be, even through difficult times.
You talked about university being a formative time and there being a Christian community kind of that you were able to learn and grow within. What does kind of Christian community look like for you now? Obviously, you're on the road quite a lot, but you've got a base in Coventry. What does church look like? What is kind of the people around you, the influences that you're getting in? What does that look like, and how does that kind of help in all that you're doing?
It's really positive and it is really helpful. So I started going to newest church. I've been there for almost 2 years now, called Mosaic Church in Coventry. And that's been really great to have a local church. So I used to go to church with my parents, but it wasn't as local to me. So now just being at a church more local has been really good to be able to connect with community. And it means a lot, because I think in those settings, it's just great to just come like as I am. And like, it's less about me being an athlete. Obviously, they're very much interested in my sport. You know, it's just amazing just to be able to worship with others and just have that like freedom, but also have that sense of knowing that there's people that are beside you through the ups and downs, and having people that you can just be really honest with, I think is a really special thing as well.
And on the road, do you have kind of people with you that you're able to journey with? Is that kind of Zoom calls or text messages, or is there other athletes that you're able to connect with?
Yeah, so also through like Christians in Sport as well, there's a really great community through that. So it's been great to be able to connect with other young athletes through Christians in Sport, and also with the support that they give with their own kind of you know, their own team. So it's great to have those connections, especially when I go away, because yeah, I'm not necessarily at church when I'm like going abroad. So it's been really good to have that support from them throughout my whole career, but especially going into, you know, the games.
Again, I asked you for kind of was there a Bible verse or a story that helped at a previous point? But when it comes now to competing, when it comes to the fact that you're going to find yourself in pressurized situations, you're wanting to achieve, is there a Bible verse or a story that particularly kind of you find helpful to remind yourself of when you're in those moments?
Yeah, so recently I've been really encouraged by Colossians 2, 9 to 10, which talks about, you know, Jesus being the fullness of God, and the fullness of God being in Jesus. But then it says that we've been brought to fullness through Christ ourselves, and we're complete in Christ, it says in one version. And that's been just so encouraging, because again, I think in sport, it's easy to think that, okay, the achievement's going to complete me, like thinking that, okay, that gold medal, once I've got that gold medal, you know, that's it, I'm sorted. But it's just been so encouraging to remember that actually my completeness, my fullness, my values in Christ. And that's, yeah, something that I can really hold and just have that encouragement as I'm going into the games.
What's next for you? You've got the Olympics. You're now a full-time athlete, as you say. Is that now your hope for kind of the next kind of 10, 15 years, however long your body allows you to compete at the top level? Have you kind of mapped out kind of the next steps?
Not really, to be honest. No, I think I take it like year by year. Literally. So yeah, I get through the games. That's the plan. But yeah, just really just seeing where things go, and just definitely trusting in God. And I think I've definitely had to surrender my plans a bit as well, and just recognize that, yeah, we'll see wherever God takes me, really.
Do you enjoy it now as much as you did on that first mini marathon race?
Yeah, I think I do. There are moments where that I really enjoy, but I would say that, you know, as you get more in it, sometimes you can lose that childlike enjoyment, that childlike freedom in it. So I think for me as well, part of it is just keeping that. No matter how much I've achieved, it's trying to keep that enjoyment. And I think as long as I'm enjoying the sport, I'll continue to do it.
Yeah. And are there any kind of goals, dreams, ambitions within the sport that you're still kind of wanting to achieve? Obviously, you've got the Paralympics, on the horizon now. But is there anything kind of bigger that you think, you know, records that you want to set or medals you want to win? Do you have kind of goals and ambitions?
Yeah, definitely. I think the Paralympic gold has always been, you know, the dream to have that moment. I mean, whenever that might be. But also, I think it's always about bettering myself. So especially like in the 100 metres, that was the event where I got the world record. And it's very much my desire to get back there and to be able to push that personal best, because I actually haven't gone that fast since that time 8 years ago. So really, my desire is to get back there. And that's a huge goal as well.
For somebody who doesn't understand sports, just talk us through that you can kind of you can do a personal best, but 8 years on, you haven't been able to match it. You know, that people would kind of go, hey, that doesn't make sense. You were a teenager back then.
Yeah, it's challenging. So I've looked back at the race many times and thought, oh, how can I replicate that? I wish I knew. I'm still kind of working that out. But again, I think that's why sport is great, because it's a test of character, it's a test of patience. So I'm always learning a lot through sport, and just it's that sense of having to push and having to work day in, day out, and build that patience and push through and be and have that perseverance. So yeah, it's one of those where we just keep going until hopefully it will happen again.
And when it comes to prayer, we all pray selfish prayers, right? We ask God for the desires of our hearts. What does that look like for you? Are you praying for to be able to get that kind of personal best? Are you praying to get that gold medal? What does that prayer life look like in within the world of sports?
I think within the world of sport, especially at the moment, it's just been being really honest to God about where I am, like being honest about the disappointments, but also thanking God for, the positive sessions and when I'm enjoying it and when it's good. But I think ultimately on the start line, every time my prayer is, "Your will be done." Like that's all I say, because I know that, the gold might not happen, but that, it's all about God's will and trusting that that is good. And yeah, that's always what I say before every race.
Again, thinking about those who might be listening, those who perhaps are looking at a career in sport, maybe they've been told that they've got a talent, or maybe they're a parent of a child who's been told that they've got a talent. Is sport a career that you'd encourage? I know it, as we said, it's got lots of ups and downs, but any walk in life has kind of ups and downs. What would you say to those who kind of want to go but kind of just a little bit nervous?
I'd encourage them to do it, because you learn so much about yourself, like even not just your physical capabilities, but mentally, emotionally. And I think, yeah, even God teaches us a lot through that as well. So I think it's definitely worth the adventure and the journey. It does reveal a lot. And yeah, it's just about enjoying it and just trying different things out and just exploring sport. And yeah, I definitely would encourage anyone to give it a go.
And it's capable, it's possible to be a Christian in this world where it seems that kind of everyone else's kind of win at all costs mentality. It's possible to kind of to hold on to that faith and have a successful career. Is that something that you'd buy into?
Yeah, definitely. It is possible. Yeah. It means that you're different by all means. You're different to those around you, and that can be challenging at times. But it's definitely possible to be able to love your competitors and to be the best and to be fiercely competitive, but also to do it for God's glory.
Yeah, what are your competitors, coaches, teammates, what are they saying when kind of you have a slightly different attitudes to perhaps what the world has?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of them probably find it quite different. I know I've been at camps and they know I'm a Christian, and with that, it's kind of nice though, because when they've got questions about the Bible, random questions, they think I have the answers, which I don't always, but so there's that sense of it. And I think I've had questions, from teammates about kind of, yeah, what how does your faith impact what you do? And yeah, so I think it's all been quite a positive thing. And yeah, I think people have been interested, and that's great as well, because it's been able to open up conversations with people.
Let's go back to that kind of starting point. You're told at school you can't get involved in PE, to now being kind of the top of the game, competing all around the world, winning medals. What's your kind of message to those who kind of the in the camp of no, you can't do that? I guess you may have had the opportunity to speak with teachers, but what message would you say to those who look to kind of to stop or restrict people in what they can do in their lives?
I would tell them, to reconsider their ideas around what people can and can't do, to communicate with them, and also to encourage, people to push themselves in sport, and just allow that access to sport as well. Because I think sometimes the issue is when we assume what people are capable of. So it's all about encouraging people to do, great things.
Carrie, obviously, of the preparation for this interview, I've just kind of been looking into your career. It's a remarkable story to come from watching the games in 2012 to competing in Olympics just a few years later to now kind of being multi Paralympic medal winning. Is there a word which you'd say sums up that career?
Mind blowing.
That's good. That's good. And then for those who are listening now, who kind of might have been inspired by your journey, they want to pray for you. What would you say to them in regards to how they can pray for you and all that you're doing in this world of sports?
I guess it's just praying that, God's will be done, as we know it will be, but God's will be done, and I guess just praying that I can be the best version of who I am and who God's made me to be, and to be able to use that platform positively as well, to encourage others and to share faith as well.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.